Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What used to be amusing isn't. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt if you ever turn on a TV or radio, you've heard somebody pontificate, making the rather obvious observation that there are some people groups that are talked about positively and others negatively. And when somebody in a particular people group does something atrocious, they are treated either tenderly or bitterly based on the public perception of that people group. And so it comes out like this. Imagine if a Republican did that. Or, yeah, if Trump did what Biden did. Or, you know, the Christians, they always take a beating, but the Muslims don't. Sound familiar? It used to be somewhat amusing to observe that there has been an unfair treatment of particular people groups based on our modern culture's definition of what is in and what is out, what is on the right side of history and what is on the wrong side of history. But it's no longer that funny, because this is starting to get serious. When it comes to issues first, like religious rights, freedom of speech, freedom to believe what you want, practice your religion how you see fit, and then ultimately it might become an issue of personal safety. Not there yet, but it sure does appear that what once used to be rather amusing is now getting serious. There have been two wicked, atrocious, nasty mass murders in the last couple of weeks. You've heard about both of them. One was perpetrated by a professing Baptist, the other by a professing Muslim. And no doubt you have noticed the difference in treatment of those two murderers. The former was talked about regularly. There's a picture of his church in virtually every article. There are stories galore about this professing Baptist young man. And is this a part of the Southern Baptist culture? Is this what he was being taught at that church? Is he living in a toxic community that needs to be cleansed? And I have those stories. I only printed up 1, 2, 3, 4. I only printed up 6 of them. You could probably go find 60. And I'm not talking about in the Paducah Press. We're talking the New York Times, the Washington Post. Every major newspaper has written a story about the Baptist shooter in Atlanta, Georgia. About a week after that young man murdered 8 people, another young man, same age incidentally, who happens to be of a different faith, he went into a grocery store and he murdered 10 people. Have you been hearing about his Islamic faith? Have you been reading any opinion pieces that maybe it's the environment of Islam that is producing this kind of behavior? Have you seen any articles of reporters that visited the young man's mosque after he had committed the shooting, to give a report of what is going on there, as was done at the Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia? And the answer is no. In fact, I just checked it, but moments ago, I Googled Colorado shooter mosque. Do you want to know what I came up with? Colorado shooting suspect. This is the number one post on the Googler machine from Religion News. Colorado shooting suspect had worried about being targeted for his Muslim faith. Oh, so he had some concerns about actually being persecuted as a Muslim as opposed to being accused of being a Muslim persecutor, as was done with the Baptist boy. Second article from CNN, Colorado mass shooting news. This is a story from 2 days ago, 10 killed in a grocery store shooting. And it does indeed talk about, finally, its mosque. Motive? Authorities have not yet shared information on a possible motive. But it was immediate with the Baptist kid. It was ethnic. It was sexist. It was misogynistic. And by the way, those were from Christians commenting on the shooter, not just the secularists. And so it does finally mention the mosque, but more about how they're feeling about what happened as opposed to potentially even accusing them or questioning whether or not their culture is toxic in any way. The third story, when I Googled Colorado shooter mosque, following New Zealand mosque shootings, Aurora police ramp up patrols. Next article is about New Zealand mosque shooter. New Zealand mosque shooter sentenced to life in prison. Colorado Springs mosque receives cards and flowers after New Zealand shooting. These are the articles that popped up. When you Google the 10 mass murder spree that a Muslim went on. Now, let's type in Atlanta shooter Baptist. Here's what popped up. First, why the Atlanta shooter may have called himself a sex addict. By the way, there's a picture of the Baptist church that pops up first. And it talks about him being a sex addict because this fellow grew up in the purity culture in the evangelical community. Oh, second article. Southern Baptist leaders wrestle with Atlanta shooting suspects' ties to church. Third story from CNN. Atlanta shooting. Church removes shooting suspect from its membership. That's the fourth story. That's the fifth story. That must be the hot subject right now. This article from the local news, I believe it's NBC, talking about his membership in the Baptist church. Some, regarding the motive, this is from NBC News, point to the shooting suspect's religion and shame. Do we get the point? One religion gets a pass, the other is prosecuted. It's not funny anymore. And what is making this even more disconcerting is that many of these critiques are actually happening from inside of the evangelical community. This has been my observation as of late. I don't know how long this has been going on because it's only struck me as of recently, despite the fact that we evangelicals like to study things like logical fallacies, bad argumentation, poor syllogisms. Lately, I keep seeing more and more ridiculous conclusions being drawn because of anecdotes. Now, I know that this is a big part of our culture today. We need to believe somebody's story. I'm talking about Christians here. Christians who are willing to come up with a foregone conclusion. This is why this kid shot up 8 people in a massage parlor. The problem? Evangelicalism. The toxic, masculine, misogynistic culture of the Southern Baptist Church. Do we have any sort of statistics or scientific facts on that? No. But, write some of the evangelical analysts, because women are not allowed to be pastors, and because men seem to run everything, clearly this young man was a part of that toxic, misogynistic culture, and that is why he shot up those massage parlors. Unbelievable. Absolutely. The slander toward brothers and sisters aside, it is simply poorly reasoned outcomes. There is no substantiation for this. Are there sexist and misogynistic people in the Southern Baptist Convention? Of course. And there's Jewish misogynistic people and Hindu misogynistic people. There are people who sin because it is in the panoply of the sin palette to be racist or to be sexist. But does that mean that this kid shot up three massage parlors because men only can be pastors? Or because in some people's estimation, perhaps from experience, as females, they've been treated poorly. Therefore, that's how all men in the Southern Baptist Convention behave. That's why this church, which is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention, was acting that way also. And therefore, this kid shot up a bunch of people. Horrible logic, terrible reasoning, slanderous accusations. And that is why this is no longer funny on two levels. The question now, of course, besides belly aching about it, is trying to figure out why this is happening and what we should be doing about it. Because we seem to be moving from the realm of, oh, yeah, see, that's just what they do to conservatives and Christians. But they would never do that to a liberal or a Buddhist. It's time to take a closer look at the argument that is being made against Christians. And I think we need to be aware before we try to draw any conclusions, there might not be an earthly solution to this problem. Next on Wretched Radio. Yes, you're busy, but I suspect you could spare 2 minutes if it saved you $500 a month. Please call MediShare for 120 seconds and they will give you a quote on affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to health insurance. You get free telehealth services, a huge network of doctors, customer support, people praying for you, and 400,000 members sharing one another's health burdens. That is what MediShare is about. And on average, you will save, whether you are a single or a family, $500 per month. It will take you 2 minutes to make a phone call and find out how you could be saving and have peace of mind. Got 2 minutes? Call 844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to Wretched Radio today. We always appreciate when you email us your comments, your questions, your conundrums, and even your snarks. You can do that by emailing idea@wretched.org. We always love to hear those stories and snarks and comments and conundrums, just like this email we received from Alexandra, who says, Todd, just started listening to Wretched Radio and love the heartbeat of this ministry. I have been feeling an urgency for a long time about coming persecution, and your show boldly addresses it. Just like Alexandra, send us your comments, your questions, your stories, and your conundrums. Again, you can do that by emailing idea@wretched.org, or you can call Beep Talk at 1-866-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
So, you're one of them there Christians that wants a lot of bang for your giving buck. I concur completely, and that is why I would like to commend to you the Masters Academy International. If you would like to see your giving go a long way, the Masters Academy is the vehicle that will make sure your dollar goes very, very far. They train indigenous pastors in 16 countries around the globe to rightly pastor and to rightly preach the Word of God for years. For decades, consider the fruit that will be born from training a pastor to rightly divide the word of truth. If you would like to get a lot of bang for your giving buck, please learn more about the Masters Academy International. Pick a country that's near and dear to your heart and give with confidence. Wretched.org/pastor.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Aha, it's not funny. This is Wretched Radio, story number one, which, by the way, was written about a day or two after a boy who professed to be a Baptist in Atlanta shot up three massage parlors. Headline from Larry's Left-Handed News in Schenectady. I'm sorry, my glasses are smudgy. It's the New York Times. Headline, Atlanta suspect's fixation on sex is familiar thorn for evangelicals. Well, suddenly, the world is interested in sex addiction and pornography. When a professing Baptist kid shoots up some massage parlors, wow, they seem to be interested, don't they? When Brad Onishi heard that the man accused of a rampage at three Atlanta area spas told detectives that he had carried out the attacks as a way to eliminate his own temptations, that claim sounded painfully familiar. Dr. Onishi, who grew up in a strict evangelical community in Southern California that emphasized sexual purity. So this story is based on this Dr. Onishi, who, I don't know what he says today about his personal faith, grew up in a Southern California evangelical community. The evangelical culture he was raised in, he said, quote, teaches women to hate their bodies. Did you know that? I think that there's been just such a saturation of sermons on this subject in the books. Lifeway can hardly stock them all that teach women how to hate their bodies. Did you know that that's what was going on? As the source of temptation, and it teaches men to hate their minds, which leads them into lust and sexual immorality. Well, apparently this evangelical kind of forgot about his Bible, and the issue is of the heart. And every individual sin is every individual sin. Was there an era in evangelical history when the purity culture was imbalanced? I think we have to admit, yes, it was. There were stories that were being told. There were people who were on the speaking circuit that would say things that were really unbiblical and really unhelpful. And they could, one suspects, cause somebody to think poorly about themselves, which is true, by the way, of everything. This man's accusation, no substantiation. None whatsoever. You say it, the New York Times prints it, that's reality. Nothing concrete to say because of A, therefore B. Nope, this was just this man's conclusion. And you and I think, could learn a little something about this so that we don't repeat some of the mistakes that took place inside of the purity culture. We need to be teaching a full Christian view of sexuality with our kids. That purity is indeed what God insists on until a man and a woman say, I do. You should be saying, I don't do that until then. But if you do, and you sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you will not be a second-class Christian. You will not be an irreparably dirty person for the rest of your days. Your life will not be ruined. God died for sinners, including fornicators. We need to make sure that we don't repeat any of the errors that were committed in the past from the purity culture. Having said that, can we say that this kid basically shot up three massage parlors because he maybe was exposed to that teaching, although quite honestly, nobody did the research to see if he did. Nobody knows. Did he have a purity ring? Did he follow the Jonas Brothers? Miley Cyrus? Anything? Nope. You say it, and that's the way that it is. And that is what was printed in the New York Times. For some with experience in evangelical youth culture, the shooter's fixation on sexual temptation was a reminder of a damaging approach to teaching young people how to address sexuality. And so the emphasis in New York Times, it's pushing toward, and there's many other articles which I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers, that it was because of the emphasis on purity, he acted out sexually, which ultimately led him to killing 8 people. If you presented this in a court of law where it actually is a law court and not some ridiculous current court where everything is looked at through a CRT lens, you would be laughed out as an attorney. Your Honor, I believe that Helen, she grew up on a farm. And we know that on farms, regularly farmers struggle. Helen acted out like so many farmers who have struggled in the past. I think she's guilty. The judge would say, "What are you? What farmers are you talking about? How did they act out? And how do you know that that was Helen's motive?" Just ridiculous conclusions. And yet, that is the way the case is being made. From the New York Times. Purity culture teaches young men to view young women who do not try to maintain modesty as sinister forces. It's hard not to think about the fact that Asian women have been sexualized and set up to be viewed through the lens of an exotic other who is sexually desirable. All right, so now we've made our claim based on thin air. Purity culture teaches men that women are wicked because of the way they dress. And Asian women somehow now get introduced into this. They've been sexualized and set up to be viewed through the lens of an exotic other who is sexually desirable. And we know that that was what was going on with this kid. We know that this is what's going on in culture. These are absolute whole cloth, made up, personal musings, but nothing scientific. Now, that does, however, raise an issue that I think is valid, and you may recall it was a few years ago when conversations like this used to be just amusing or good tishreden. We would talk about this at the dinner table, but we didn't think it would get this serious. Do you remember when there were some people who were really not pleased that evangelicals would ever say to women, "Please think about the way you present yourself. Please think about the way that you dress, because men, they are lusting dogs. Please, please don't lead them into temptation." And people howled at that. They concluded that anybody who would say such a thing was concluding that women are responsible for the man's sin. We have to make that really clear. They're not. A man's sin is a man's sin. A man can lust after a woman in a burqa or a bikini. It doesn't matter. It's a man's sin. It belongs to him, period. Now, having said that, does that mean that women should not be mindful of that? I think so. Just as you would be mindful about where you take yourself at night. You can walk on a well-lit street or you can walk through a dark alley. Which are you going to choose? Wisdom says, I'm going to walk where it's lit. It's just safer there. Similarly, I think a woman can be wise about how she presents herself, knowing that men are indeed lusting dogs. And if they are presenting their bodies in an unbiblical way, an immodest way, as defined by many other things than how long a skirt is or how tight a blouse is, there are biblical ways to measure modesty. If a woman is stepping outside of those parameters, that's a different issue. Then she could be sinning, and that would be her sin. But it's this intersection, though, of her sin, his sin, and wisdom that a few years ago people were saying, "Oh, you can't say that about women. You can't tell them that because that makes them the person responsible for the man's atrocious behavior." No, it doesn't. He's responsible for his atrocious behavior, but she's also responsible for her behavior in a different way. Now, that is clearly that any sort of distinction or nuance in that understanding, totally erased. Because we have encouraged women to please be mindful of how lusting a man's eyes are? We've taught women to loathe their bodies and men to objectify them. And somehow then Asian women got brought into this because some of the people who were murdered were Asian. That's where we are. We need to be aware that these are the arguments that are being used against Christians. Can we change their mind about these things? I think that there could be some who will listen thoughtfully and carefully. But it seems to me that until people have a serious heart change and are able to think better, I think that this is a trend that can only become more and more extreme, which might infringe more and more on our religious rights and ultimately our persons. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, Democratic senators plan to introduce legislation that would repeal the Hyde Amendment, arguing that the decades-old legislation is both anti-choice and blatantly racist. The Equal Access to Abortion Coverage and Health Insurance Act will be introduced in Congress on Thursday by Democratic Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth and Democratic California Senator Barbara Lee. The legislation demands the reversal of the 1976 Hyde Amendment, which bans the use of federal funds for abortions. Duckworth and Lee argue that the Hyde Amendment prevents low-income women and women of color from accessing abortions. Reverend Dean Nelson, the executive director of the Human Coalition Action, said today that the Hyde Amendment is one of the few remaining legal barriers to the abortion industry's systematic and racist exploitation of people of color. Utah Governor Spencer Cox has signed into law a new legislation requiring smartphone and tablet manufacturers in the state to install porn filters to protect minors against unwanted exposure to adult material. Just 2 days before the deadline, Utah's HB 72 was signed by Republican Governor Spencer Cox, who ordered mobile phone and tablet manufacturers in the state to automatically enable a filter of blocking material that is harmful to minors. The law mandating porn filters on smartphones and tablets sends an important message about hindering a child from accessing explicit content online. According to a news report, HB 72 is another step towards limiting the availability of porn in the state. However, the law will only take effect if five other states enact similar laws, a provision that was added because some believed it would be difficult to implement. A mob armed with axes and thick wooden batons in central India disrupted a home worship service and beat and threatened Christians for leaving their ancestral tribal religion earlier this month. 8 Christians were injured and 5 of them hospitalized, including 2 women and a pastor who suffered head injuries and a dislocated shoulder in the March 8th assault. In foul language, as they were beaten, the approximate 30 tribal animists told the resident Christians to leave the village and ordered the visitors never to return. After the onslaught, the mob collected 10 to 12 Bibles, songbooks, and household belongings, including chairs, tables, and carpet, piled them outside, and set them on fire. They also damaged 9 motorbikes and 4 bicycles, tearing out tires, pulling out wiring, and breaking glass parts. The hostile tone of the National Democratic Alliance government, led by Hindu nationalists, has emboldened Hindu extremists in several parts of the country to attack Christians since the prime minister took power in 2014. India ranks 10th on the Open Doors 2021 World Watch list of the countries where it's most difficult to be a Christian. And as always, continue to pray for our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your church fathers. Tertullian is known as Asia's first Christian theologian. He came from Assyria and studied under Justin Martyr before returning to prepare a path for the gospel into Western Asia. He wrote A Harmony of the Four Gospels. It was the primary gospel text in Syria throughout the 3rd and 4th centuries. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A mere accusation is all it takes, and you can try as hard as you want to deny it, but it will never be enough. This is Wretched Radio. There was a young man as of late who shot up 3 massage parlors, murdering 8 people. It was quickly made known to the public via pretty much every news outlet, He is a Baptist. Well, suddenly it was as if Chum was in the water, the sharks were swirling, and the news stories were coming out left and right that there must be something up with this Baptist church and this Baptist culture that this kid was simmering in all of his life that would lead him to do something so wicked. The church made it very clear. No, women were not responsible for this young man's sin. As was being accused by news outlets, he did it because women are objectified in evangelical Christianity, courtesy of the misogynistic purity culture. The church wrote, "No blame can be placed upon the victims." That seems pretty clear. He alone is responsible for his evil actions and desires. Once again, alone, no blame. The women he solicited for sexual acts are not responsible for his perverse sexual desires, nor do they bear any blame in these murders. These actions are the result of a sinful heart and a depraved mind for which this young man is completely responsible. Was that enough? Absolutely not. Don't know if you're aware of this, but the media showed up at this Baptist church the Sunday after the shooting. What? The media went to church? Yeah, just like they went to the mosque after the Islamic Colorado. No, they didn't actually do that. At least we're not aware of any of that happening. But nevertheless, newspaper reports came out immediately once the people were dismissed. And guess what? These are major newspaper outlets. The church, not only were some people not wearing masks, but they did not denounce white supremacy. See what they're doing there at that Baptist church? Despite the fact that they came out with this strong of a statement, it's just not enough. And I don't think that it'll ever be enough. I don't know that we can protest too much. This, by the way, happens to be from an article in, this was Religion News. But these angles and these accusations, unsubstantiated accusations, connections, correlations, they're everywhere. How's about the Washington Post? It's an opinion piece, but it got printed. After Atlanta area shooting, Christians must rethink purity culture that puts the blame on women. There it is in the headline. That's what it did. Put the blame on women. Was there some bad teaching in the purity culture? We have to admit there certainly was. There was some bad teaching. Does anybody remember the Matt Chandler sermon that probably launched him into the stratosphere? Do you recall? It had to do with a rose. Matt Chandler had seen, he went to a purity conference, an event, and the guy took out a rose and he said, "Ladies, this is like you. No, he passed out the rose. He said, "I want you to take this rose and I want you to pass it around and just pluck off a petal or just a piece of the rose and just pass it around." And that's what they did. They passed it around. Everybody sniffed it. And by the time it got back to the guy, it looked ratty and awful. "Ladies, this is what you look like when you lose your virginity." Oh, man. And then Matt Chandler screamed, "Jesus wants the rose. Jesus saves the rose. Jesus forgives the rose." And he corrected this horrible purity illustration about a rose. There's been some bad purity teaching. And if in any way women were made to feel that way, that is more than lamentable. That is repentable. But I don't think, at least to the best of my knowledge, I haven't seen garbage like that in years. That type of teaching has either disappeared or hopefully matured. But to say that this kid shot up 8 people at a massage parlor because of some bad purity teaching that we don't even know he was exposed to? Here it is from the Washington Post, who suddenly has an interest in Baptists. Long was baptized 3 years ago at a Baptist church in Milton, Georgia, where his father was a lay leader and gave testimony that circulated online. He was embedded in church culture. As a teenager, according to the Washington Post, he would stack chairs and clean floors at the church. Look at him. Look at all the talk about evangelical life here. When did they gain such an interest? Because this is the first time, to my knowledge, that anybody in the evangelical community has done anything this wicked and atrocious. This is now the great equalizer. This one tragic shooting equals all of the other ones that were performed by people who were Satanists, secularists, godless people. Now the playing field is entirely level. Here's what the third paragraph says. Please note, we don't know much else about Long. He stacked chairs at church. We don't know much else. But guess what's going to come blazing for the next four pages in the Washington Post article? We are going to say this is because of that. And they do. For many Christians, one phrase leaped out in the early news reports. According to the police, Long said he targeted women working at massage parlors because they were a temptation for him that he wanted to eliminate. According to the Wall Street Journal, he targeted these businesses in retaliation for feeding what he called a sex addiction. In other words, the women made him do it. No, despite the clear protestations and corrections of the church itself, stating, no, the women are not to blame. Nevertheless, that's the accusation. And we need to be aware of it, because I doubt that this is going away anytime soon. Here's another article. This is from Salon, written by an evangelical. How evangelicalism's racist roots and purity culture teachings catalyzed the Atlanta killings. Oh, I see. Despite the denials. Okay. Despite the denials, the killings are a hate crime that exists at the intersection of misogyny, xenophobia, and racism. And underpinning it is the toxicity of evangelical purity culture. Are we noticing a theme here? Has anybody been able to make the connection of the correlation? Does anybody know if this kid ever went to a purity conference? Does he even know the lyrics to a Miley Cyrus song? Anything! Not much is known about the shooter, but... And this is the world that we are living in. He was a member of a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church in Macon. It's actually Milton, but that little detail aside. To many Christians, men like a fellow that they mention, the woman who spoke out against, this, by the way, is talking now about Ravi Zacharias to make their case that the purity culture, evangelicalism, misogyny, racism, they bring up Ravi Zacharias. The women who spoke out against Zacharias weren't victims. They were anonymous stumbling blocks in a great man's life, obstacles to be tested. It's a line of thinking that is deeply rooted in evangelical teaching and colored by the tradition's insidious sexism and racism, which were on full display through the Christian right's overwhelming support of Donald Trump, all of which Long would have become well acquainted with during his time in the church. Do we know that? No. Do we state it? Yep. Print it? Yep. Is that the truth? It is now. We were given these lessons too, writes the evangelical in Salon. Don't wear tight-fitting pants, as they can cause a man to think impure thoughts. If that's the case, then you would think the media would be all over the Colorado shooting, because that representation of what they think evangelicalism is about. evangelicals encourage women with Christian liberty to dress mindfully. Biblically, it's not based primarily on lustful men. It's based on what the Bible says about nudity, how we present our bodies, both male and female, why we cover up. It's a reminder of the fall. It's a reminder of sin. It's our need for clothing of righteousness by God. All of those. That's why we dress the way that we do. That's why we dress, period. The Muslims, they put women in burkas where you can't barely see their eyes. I'm looking for one article from even a Muslim, like we're seeing from evangelicals criticizing evangelicals. And that might be yet another moral to this story. The evangelical community appears more than willing to eat its own based on whatever perceptions, experiences that they have without substantiation, making claims against all Baptists, all evangelicals for some historically bad preaching that was not nearly the thrust of all preaching, but nevertheless is now being used to blame evangelicals for mass shootings. Welcome to 2021. This is Wretched Radio. You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çocalı. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
I'm going to let you in on a not-so-well-known wretched secret. Todd is afraid to break a nail. I know, that's hard to believe, but it's true. So maybe you can help us out a little bit. See, our warehouse is moving, and we have pallets and pallets of gospel booklets that Todd may have to move, and we can't risk that. So they've been deeply discounted to save you money and Todd's nails. So head on over to the Wretched store right now at wretched.org and stock up on all our gospel booklets, like Don't Stub Your Toe, Are You a Rotten Fish, and 13 Reasons Not to Commit Suicide. Help save our backs so we don't have to move them. Save yourself some money, but more importantly than anything else, help save Todd's nails by heading over to the Wretched store and taking advantage of these deeply, deeply discounted prices on all our gospel booklets. Right now, they're on sale at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
Numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? Okay, I don't, and maybe you don't either, but you are going to be thrilled at these statistics from preborn.org. Since 2007, there have been over 500,000 pregnancy tests. Whoa. 42,000 women have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and over 123,000 babies' lives were saved. You can have a direct impact on the battle for life in a country that is increasingly opposed to life. While the government is busy trying to take the lives of more children, you and I can be saving babies and saving mommies, because Preborn, they provide free ultrasounds, and they also preach the gospel. Babies get saved, and so do mommies. Would you please help grow these numbers by supporting Preborn? You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. He encourages Timothy to persevere amid suffering. Paul had suffered for the sake of the gospel, but he also knew the beauty and power of the gospel. He charges Timothy to cling to and preach the gospel. When you face opposition, do not fear or be ashamed, but trust God and rely on his word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hold on! It actually just got worse. This is Wretched Radio, article after article, story after story, blaming evangelicals for the 3 massage parlor murders that took place now a couple of weeks ago in Atlanta, Georgia, because a kid went to a Baptist church. First, we're blaming his church, then we're blaming the Southern Baptist Convention, then it's the purity culture. Now, it appears to be Jesus himself. This happens to be printed in religionnews.com. Atlanta suspect blamed for tempting him. He didn't. Nevertheless, purity culture does the same. That's the headline. Are we feeling the theme? Nevertheless, as a member of the Southern Baptist Convention, Long no doubt learned that the Apostle Paul exhorted Christians to flee from sexual immorality. Jesus himself taught that lust is committing adultery in one's heart, employing a vivid metaphor to underscore the gravity of his point. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. See? He got these ideas to murder people at a massage parlor from Jesus. I've also heard that we evangelicals are also blamed for this because we tell people to kill their sin. See what we did there? We were subtly telling this young man to go kill people in massage parlors when we talk about mortification of sin. In many Christian circles today, this New Testament gets twisted so that others, specifically women, are responsible for managing young men's sexual desires by not being an object of temptation in what they wear or how they carry themselves. Need to be up to speed on this one and to be very clear. A man's sin is a man's sin. A woman's sin, whatever it happens to be, that's hers. But a man is fully responsible for acting like a murderous dog. The connection goes back a ways. Everybody's getting thrown under the bus here. 17th century British Puritan pastor Richard Baxter taught that women should avoid being a snare in how they dress. Well, they should. But that doesn't mean that the fellow who falls lusts does something even worse, and that it's her fault. These two ideas can coexist, but not in the minds of the world. He wrote, "You must walk among sinful persons, which all men are, as you do with a candle among straw or gunpowder, or else you may see the flame which you did not foresee when it is too late to quench it." That's just called wisdom. Not anymore. Richard Baxter is a misogynist sexist, probably racist to boot, who is to blame for a Baptist kid in Atlanta, Georgia, for shooting up three massage parlors. Ridiculous? No. Reality. And that is the world that we are living in. And as an evangelical, you need to know you're underneath the bus next to Richard Baxter, next to the Apostle Paul, next to Jesus. On and on and on it goes. It's misogyny dressed up in spiritual language. We don't know enough about Long's upbringing, but that doesn't matter. Literally says this. This is on the fourth page from Religion News. We don't know enough about Long's upbringing to know precisely what he learned about women or sexuality growing up. Guess what the next word is? But we do know we're in a time when we're seeing in plain sight the bad fruit of twisted teachings about sexuality, manhood, and womanhood. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? It's weird because this reporter said the exact same thing about the Islamic shooter in Kala. No, actually, not a word about that. Duplicitous, of course it is. How pleading sexual addiction protects evangelical men. Another article. Same thing. Same story. And this, by the way, is a professor of sociology and religious studies at the University of Oklahoma. Given his exposure to Christian porn addiction recovery rhetoric, it's likely contributed to his claim that his out-of-control sex addiction fueled his atrocious violence. But we should make no mistake that it was the toxic combination of racism and misogyny that exists both within evangelicalism and broader American culture that compelled him. So do we know anything about this young man? No, but make no mistake about it. This is why he did what he did. Now, this is the narrative. This, by the way, sorry for dropping this in your ear, but this is what your unbelieving relatives might be thinking about you now, too. This is the narrative. And when it gets repeated long enough, loudly enough, often enough, it becomes the truth in the mind of culture. Blaming Christians for the Atlanta shootings isn't persecution. It's prosecution. God coming to us, what we deserve after all these years. How do we know all of these things? Well, we know that the reason that this young man did what he did, it's substantiated. It's just a matter of fact because a former roommate said so. There you have it. Headline from the Christian Post. Robert Aaron Long struggled with sins he committed at massage parlor, former roommate says. Quote, I lived with Robert Long for a few months. I can tell you right now that this is not a racially motivated killing. That doesn't matter. But the product of an emotionally disturbed young man who was religious to the point of mania and who felt deep shame about why he frequented these places. I actually don't have any reason to argue with that because it sure seems that's what was going on with the kid because he said so. But that has nothing to do with the church he attended, the community that he was in. The kid clearly had issues. You don't go from functioning in society for 21 years to sitting in a parking lot for an hour with a newly purchased weapon thinking, I think this is going to take care of my sexual temptation. I'll go in and shoot up some people. No thinking about the effectiveness of that, how many other massage parlors exist, or that people could be replacing the people that he was going to murder. None of those clear thinking consequences popped into his brain, or they did, and he was able to override them. Why? There was something broken in this young man, clearly. Clearly. And we can say that for all of these young men who do this. And in this instance, it could have been some bad theology in his brain. Can I blame a church, a denomination, a culture for this? Because the roommate says so? Sorry, we just have to do better than that. Several prominent critics of the evangelical community suggested that the influence of Long's Southern Baptist upbringing likely contributed to his response in his sexual struggles. This is outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. And yet, here it is. This man, the man who murdered women in a massage parlor yesterday, says he was eliminating temptation because he had a sex addiction. He was baptized member of an SBC church. Brothers, pastors, seminary heads, how you teach sexuality matters. It can be life and death. Oh, so now how we've been talking about gender issues is a matter of life and death because this happened because of that. Here we are. Where is it going? It's hard at this point to not imagine that it's going to get worse. Please note why this persecution appears to be coming our way. Please note, did anybody in any of these articles talk about the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ? Did anybody talk about the atoning work of God's Son being offensive to them? Is anybody saying inaccurate accusations against evangelicals, annoyed at us because we insist that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and nobody comes unto the Father but through him? Nope. It is the same reason that Christians have been persecuted throughout the ages. There are many reasons, but one of the big ones is moral issues. They don't like our morals and our values, and historically they have been contorted, perverted, twisted to make it look like we are the scapegoats for culture. If you recall, in the first few centuries of Christian history, Christians were accused of being cannibals because of the Lord's Supper, of eating people, of doing sacrifices. All lies, all perversions of the truth, all slanderous accusations because of our threat to the government and to the state. Were any of those reasons true? Nope. But did that become the popular narrative? Yep. And what was the consequence? Christians were killed, not because of the Lord Jesus Christ, but because the darkness hates the light. The world hates Christ. They're going to hate his Christ ones. And you and I would be very wise at this moment to realize the only way that darkness will not attack the light is when there is less darkness and more light, which means we need to be doing more preaching, more evangelizing, more outreaches now, while we can. This really isn't funny anymore. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.